shall turn again to the part of God's word that we read in Isaiah chapter 26, and we will read verse 9. Isaiah 26, verse 9. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Especially the last part of verse 9. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Now, this text speaks of God's judgments. God's judgments are his dealings with sinners that show he is a just God. God acts towards us in his providence so as to display his righteousness. And so our text is telling us that when God's judgments are in the earth, when he deals with them in remarkable ways, the people of the world will learn righteousness. This is the intended effect. They will learn that God is a righteous God and that he requires us to be righteous. So when God sends adverse circumstances upon a people, they will see that God is not pleased with them. They will then look upon themselves and see that the cause is their own sin. Through the judgments of God, they will learn that God is a just and holy God, that he hates sin, and that the way to return to happiness is by a return to righteousness. The way to return to blessedness and happiness is by returning to righteousness. When thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Well, with the Lord's help this morning, we will consider first, according to the text, the judgments of God in the earth. The judgments of God in the earth. And secondly, the world learning righteousness. The world is to learn righteousness. When thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. The judgments of God in the earth, and the world learning righteousness. Let us pray that this nation, this people, would learn righteousness. When God's judgments are in the earth, through the spreading of life-threatening disease or other calamities, may these events point us to the righteousness of God, so that we would learn to obey his laws and do them. Well, we begin with the judgments of God in the earth. And we read in verse 8, thinking of the context for a moment, which is all going together to what we're considering. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name, and to the remembrance of thee. The church has waited upon God to fulfill his promise of judging the enemy. And God is being waited for. And in fact, it seems the church has been waiting a long time for God to come and deliver his people. As one has put it, we have been long waiting in the way of thy judgments, that is to see thee come forth as a judge, to see God come forth as a judge for the vindication of his people and the destruction of their enemies. So as another has put it, the church is in a path in which the judgments of God would be meted out. And of course that is for the display of his glory and for the deliverance of his people. And this is what the godly will desire deep in their souls. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. The church is saying, the desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. Now, this is what believers desire, that God would be glorified. Their desire is to the name of God. Of course, remember, we've considered that the name of God is God who has revealed himself. It is the manifestation of God's perfections, and the manifestation of God's perfections and his attributes in his works and what he has done in the earth. That is the name of God, God revealing himself. This is what believers desire, that God would manifest himself in providence. And to the remembrance of thee, again, we're looking at verse 8, O Lord, we have waited for thee, the desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee, or the memorial of thee. What God has done, what God has wrought, what he has worked, will always be remembered. As another put it, the manifested character of God by which he would be remembered. And so this is the desire of God's people. This is the desire of the church, that God would work powerfully and that his work will be constantly thought upon. His works will be remembered. Psalm 30 and verse 4, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Give thanks, praise God, that he is manifesting his righteousness. Here is what the church desires, and God's people desire that others would see this, that others would see the glory of God. And that's what God's people are saying in verse 4. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. God does bring down the ungodly, the lofty, proud city, in verse 5, for he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city, he layeth it low, even to the ground, he bringeth it even to the dust. And it is God showing his greatness and his glory and the punishment of the wicked and the deliverance of his people. We find this again and again in the Bible, but God's people truly desire that others would trust in the Lord. And they are waiting upon God. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. Well, is this your desire? Can you say the desire of my soul is to the Lord? Verse 9, with my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. The church speaks collectively, but also the individual believer prays to God, with my soul have I desired thee in the night, night and day, early and late, seeking the Lord. With my spirit, my inmost being, I desire the glory of God. I desire Christ for my soul, and I desire Christ for others as well. Well, here is the specific reason that the believer is longing for God's judgments to be manifest, so that they would have their intended effect, and that is, when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. When thy judgments are in the earth, the desire of the church here is a special desire, that God would manifest his righteousness by appearing as a judge. Yes, God will judge the nations. It does not mean that everyone is going to be cast into hell, but it means that God is making known his righteousness in his providence in the world. When God chastises the nations through calamities, through troubles and sorrows, well, then they will learn righteousness. These troubles may be the means of bringing them to repentance, so that they would turn from sin and follow righteousness. Well, what are God's judgments? Let's think about this for a moment. These judgments are in providence. God's judgments are his judicial providences. So it's not so much here, God's judgment being manifested in his law and his commandments, which may be called his judicial decisions, which we find in the Psalms and other places, no doubt, that where we read of the judgments of the Lord being in connection with his law. For example, again, Psalm 19, verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. It's the context of God's statutes and his laws. But the judgments of God that we're reading about and thinking about just now here in Isaiah 26 are the judgments of God manifested in the punishment of the wicked and in the establishment of his kingdom. Again, when the church is delivered from its enemies, the enemies are punished. When Israel is saved, Egypt is destroyed. When Noah is delivered from the ungodly, the flood is poured out upon the ungodly world. When Israel is delivered from the Midianites are conquered. So the deliverance of the church and the destruction of the enemy go hand in hand. It's when Satan's kingdom is being destroyed that the kingdom of grace is being advanced. And this takes place manifestly in providence. God's judgments are his judicial providences. They are judgments in his providential dealings with people, in the events and circumstances that they go through. And so, as the text has it, when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. So God's judgments are the proof of his righteousness. Psalm 48 and verse 11, we read, let Mount Zion rejoice, let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. God is manifesting his righteousness in the world by the events that he's causing to take place. So the judgments of God, these, as again has been put by a commentator, are the experimental proofs of his righteousness, the experimental or experiential manifested proofs of his righteousness, which are afforded by its actual exercise. God is exercising his righteousness in his providential dealings with sinners in the earth. So his righteousness is being manifested by the troubles and by the afflictions that people go through in the world. When thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. These judgments are also called his punitive judgments, in a way of punishment, punitive judgments. God is dealing with them in a way of chastisement because of their sin. It's not random. God's judgments are not arbitrary. They are for a specific reason, and it is because of their sins. Because of their iniquities, God is searching them out. God is making known that he is present and he is watching and he is dealing with them because of their sins. Psalm 9, verse 12, when he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them, remembers his people, he forgetteth not the cry of the humble. So God is dealing with mankind in a way that shows he is a just God and that he hates sin. He hates sin and loves righteousness. So he sends providential calamities as punishments for their sins. So friends, we need to remember that what happens in the world is not just happening. It's not just by chance, but they are because of God's working in the world. The calamities in the world are not chance, not mere accidental, but they are all sent by God. These troubles have been decreed by God and they have been ordered by him in providence. So we see God in his wisdom, in his power. God is making known his righteousness by the things that he brings to pass. All of these events, all of these things are intended to teach us so that the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. So the judgments of God, the text says, are in the earth. They are throughout the world. They're throughout the lands. They are all over the earth. All over the world, God is showing that he is righteous. And they will see that there is a God that judgeth in the earth. God is not limiting his providences to just one nation, not even just to Christian nations, but he is working through all the earth. Sometimes he sends earthquakes. Sometimes he works by famines. Other times he's chastising the nation by war, and sometimes by disease, plague, and pestilence. And sometimes, even more seriously, it is by judicial blindness, judging the nation by allowing sin to run its course and people to harden their hearts more and more and become more and more willfully blind and ignorant. And they are ripening for eternal judgment. And that is so solemn. And it is something we should be thankful for when we see that God is judging in the world, causing his righteousness to be known in a way that is tangible, and we can see it take place by those calamities that cause people to their consciences to be awakened. That's what we want to see and pray for. And these judgments of God are in varying degrees. They're not all the same. They happen in different ways, and the world will think it's all random, and sometimes people suffer more, sometimes people suffer less, but it's all in God's providence. The fact is, God is sovereign, and he administers punishments according to his sovereign will, and none of them without deserving it. We all deserve to be punished much more than we are. That is a fact that we must never overlook. If we suffer in the world, we deserve to suffer much worse. And God is awakening us. He intends, that's his revealed will, to teach us righteousness. So God is sending judgments into the world, calamities, troubles, to teach people. He does not delight in their suffering. We read in the book of Lamentations that God does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. But he is warning the nations. In chapter 24 of Isaiah, we read about a conclusion to the previous chapters where God is showing his judgments to the nations. From chapter 13 to chapter 24, we read of judgments upon Egypt and upon Edom and other countries. And chapter 24 is a conclusion to the judgments of the nations, and it's a general prophecy including allusions to specific events. So it's as if it's all coming together, and it culminates in the final judgment. And so we are learning from the Word of God that God deals with nations as such. He deals with nations as nations, and he is warning people in his word that the nation and the kingdom that does not serve him will utterly perish from the earth. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 12, we refer to often, "For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted." And nations are warned by God by particular judgments. You think of the Twin Towers that fell in New York City 20 years ago. That was a judgment and warning the nation of things that are worse than that and yet to come unless the nation repents. And when there is abounding sin in a nation, the effect of such events should be to warn us of future judgments unless there is repentance. God is declaring his righteousness. Now, it is not the case that the people who fell, who died in that disaster, does not mean that they were worse sinners than others. The Lord Jesus teaches us that. When the tower fell and the people spoke to Christ about that, he tells them, "Do you think that they were worse sinners than others?" He says, "I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." So the Lord Jesus himself is teaching us to take these sad calamities as warnings that there will be worse judgments unless the people repent. So unless the nation repents, they will all perish. You think about the economic meltdown that occurred more than 10 years ago in 2008. The whole world witnessed the global financial crisis. And what pain the nations felt at that time, what an impact it had on countless lives. And these are warnings about worse judgments to come unless the nations repent. John Owen says that it may be that no nation, heathen or Christian, ever utterly perished without divine warning of their approaching desolation. So God does warn the nations, even those nations that are not Christian nations. And others might say, well, it's just a common occurrence. It happens to one, it happens to others. But you see, where there is sin that is so prevalent, the terrible events that the nations witness, should take these terrible events as warnings of future judgment. And therefore, the call is to repent, to avert the judgments, so that the judgments would not occur. We need to take the warnings as they are and repent. Well, God is saying, or rather the church is saying in God's word, when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. They will learn righteousness. The church desires that people will repent. They will learn righteousness when God's judgments are in the earth. But you see, it's not just the nations that are to learn righteousness. The church itself is to learn righteousness. The church also needs to repent. God is warning not just the nations, but he's warning his own people, those who profess to be his people, the church. As he warned the church in Ephesus, the Lord Jesus said to the church there, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. So the call is to repent. To avoid the candlestick be removed, there is the need to repent. If we repent, then we will still have the light of God's presence and the light of the Spirit among us. But without repentance, what can we expect but for Christ to utterly withdraw himself from the church? So we need ourselves as a church to repent of our dullness, our lukewarmness. We need to be stirred up to zeal, to love one another and to love Christ more. If we go on careless in our lukewarmness, then no matter what our creed is, no matter how reformed we are in our doctrine, we will certainly be receiving more of God's judgments, more affliction. God will deal with us to show us that our sins are truly hateful, and he will teach us that he is righteous and calls us to be righteous. And God deals with sinners in their families and as individuals, making known his judgments to us. He's warning us. He's hedging up our ways. Christ is knocking at the door of our hearts. He is striving with us by his Spirit. He is calling to us by his providence as well as by his word. And the current calamity involving the coronavirus, this is another of God's judgments in the earth. Whatever the cause of the virus at first, the instruments are not the most important thing. We see it's God's hand and he is overruling all. And however the reaction has been, whether the response has been appropriate or otherwise, the effects of the calamity are being felt by all of us, whether financially or mentally or physically, having loved ones who have died or relatives who have suffered one way or another. Who is going to hesitate to conclude that it is a judgment of God in the earth? Owen again points out that the first judgments are not always the most severe. Some might say, well, this calamity is not as bad as some other plague that has occurred in the past. Well, that doesn't matter. We're to take it as a warning. There may be a future judgment that is even worse. And we are being called upon to turn to God. When thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. How essential it is that when God's judgments are in the earth, we would respond appropriately, not medically, not economically, not first and foremost, but first and foremost spiritually, by repentance, turning to God from our sins. When God's judgments are in the earth, the effect should be that we learn righteousness. Is that our desire? With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is God's revealed will for us. That is what we should learn. That is what we should seek for first of all. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. In the second place, let us consider the world learning righteousness. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. The people who inhabit this world, all nations, kindreds, tongues, and peoples, they are to learn. And the Lord Jesus has told us that the gospel is to be preached to every creature, all creation under heaven. And God now commands all men everywhere to repent. That is God's call to all the nations of the world, that they would turn to the Lord. And even God's judgments are in all the earth, so that the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness, so that they will learn. They will begin to understand what true justice and true righteousness are. Because right now, people are promoting sin as if it were righteousness. They're promoting sin as if it were a fair practice, a just and right thing. Nothing needs to be fixed. It's all right to do as you do. Nothing is broken and needs to be repaired. That's what they say. But they are wrong. Man was created after the image of God, but the image of God is broken or defaced. And we are fallen by nature, and we need to repent. So people are condoning, in this nation, immoral practices as if it were a case of justice and fairness. And they're saying people can change their bodies so to become male or female according to their own wishes. That's wrong. That's evil. These things are the very opposite of the law and the righteousness of God. But when God judges the earth, when his judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. When God judges the earth, people in the world will see what righteousness really is. So this verse is teaching us that God's severity and the judgments of God are necessary in order to convince people of his justice and righteousness. And indeed, so, friends, we see the benefit of God's judgments. We see the positive outcome of God's judgments in the world. When he's dealing with people in a way that demonstrates his righteousness. And this is why the believer, the child of God, does not always think that it's the worst thing that could happen when there are things like terrible weather or economic recessions. It's not the worst thing that could happen. It might be the best thing that ever happened to the nation. Because when God chastises the nations through calamities and sorrows, they will learn righteousness. These troubles might be the means of bringing people to repentance, that they would turn from sin, that they would learn righteousness. You see, God is the teacher. God is teaching the nations. And we are to learn. Psalm 94, verse 10, he that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? So God is teaching, and the instrument he uses to teach is what? His judgments in the earth. When thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn. They will learn by the judgments. They will learn righteousness through God's judgments. So the intention is that sinners will learn. They will learn righteousness. God is teaching by his word and providence. It is God's revealed will that man will learn. Jesus commands his servants to preach the word, and he also sends judgments to warn us. He warns us to flee from the wrath to come. There is judgment to come. And God is calling us to repent, that we might be prepared. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That was Jesus' call, and he's still calling us to repent and believe. The judgments in the earth are declaring to man the need of righteousness, the need of righteousness, which tells us that man is not righteous by nature. The world needs to learn righteousness because we're not righteous of ourselves. We must be taught, and it's by God's judgments and by his word that we learn righteousness. So God is calling us by his word and providence. The things that we see take place in the world, the troubles, the calamities, the destruction, whatever it is, the negative impact upon man, it is a call. What is God calling us? He is saying, awake to righteousness and sin not. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. You see, when people are going on as they are and everything is normal and people are prospering in their sinful ways, well, this is the sad fact of our unrenewed nature, our fallen nature, that we abuse God's gifts. We turn these good things into means of sinning against God. We read of some people who are inventors of evil things. And so we're abusing the mercies of God, turning them into a wrong use to satisfy merely our pride and our sensual desires. This is the blindness and the rebelliousness of man, the hardness of heart. But you see, when people are restrained in God's providence, and when God deals with them in severity, in the way of affliction, then their eyes are opened. And yes, when the Holy Spirit is striving with them, this is what we can expect, that they will learn, they will see that God is displeased with them, and that the reason God is displeased with them is because of their sinful lives and their sinful hearts. And they will see themselves as sinners, and they will be awakened to their unrighteousness. And by the blessing of the Lord, the Lord will lead them through these afflictions, through these judgments, to turn from their rebellious ways. They will learn righteousness. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. You see this in the scriptures, and by way of illustration, when Jonah was going to Tarshish, and the sailors on that ship, when they saw the storm arise, they themselves, even though they were heathen, they began to cry out every man to his God. And then they spoke to Jonah, and they were asking, what is it that you have done to bring this storm upon us? And so they saw the judgment of God. And then you see, with regard to Joseph's brethren, when Joseph was dealing harshly with them, it was God's providence toward them. They didn't know it was Joseph, but what they did know is that they had sinned terribly, and God was now dealing with them on account of their sins. The judgment of God, their troubles that they were going through, had the effect of awakening them, awakening their conscience. They were learning righteousness. And so these judgments in the world, they're causing people, should cause them, and with the blessing of the Lord, it will cause them to see the connection between sin and suffering. Sin and suffering. And we do live in a curse-stricken world, and the curse has come upon us because of sin. And we're seeing the evidence of that throughout history and throughout the world. And you see this even more clearly in regard to judgment upon notorious sinners. When there's a terrible judgment upon a flagrant sinner, then we must acknowledge, and we will inevitably acknowledge that it's the hand of God. It would be blindness if we fail to acknowledge the hand of God upon the ruin of that sinner. You think of the recent terrorist in the food store that attempted to murder others. He was shot dead. And you say, well, it was a policeman who brought him down. But no, it was God's judgment upon that man. It was a clear judgment. And so for Herod, King Herod, when he was persecuting the church, it was shortly afterwards that he was smitten by an angel and consumed. These are examples of God's demonstration of his righteousness. You think about people today who live immoral lives, and many of them suffer terrible diseases associated with that immorality. That's a clear judgment of God. It's a proof of his righteousness, that he is a just God. And all the judgments of God in the earth are telling us about the judgment to come. The judgment to come. And we must all give an account of ourselves before the judge of all the earth. Judgments that we see in the world, the judgments of God in the world, they are teaching us righteousness and pointing us to the final judgment. And we see displays of God's justice here in the earth, as we've been saying, which show us that he's a righteous judge. When a terrible sinner is struck down, you have to conclude that's a judgment of God upon that sinner. And there are enough displays of God's justice in the world in providence to show that he is a holy and righteous God. But at the same time, the fact that most sins are not immediately punished tells us that there is a final judgment yet to come when all sin will be punished. All those who go on impenitent and rebellious and don't repent and don't come to Christ, all of them, they will all likewise perish, as the Lord Jesus says. And what a judgment that is, friends. This is the eternal judgment of God upon sinners. We're being warned of that. When thy judgments are in the earth, the people of the world, the inhabitants of the world, will learn righteousness. They will see that God is just and righteous, and he will judge sin as it is for those that don't repent. And to be judged by Christ and condemned for our sins on the judgment day, not having come to Christ and not having repented and not having a new heart, what a judgment that is. It is to feel the judgment of God forever and ever. God will be constantly causing sinners in hell to know that he is a just and holy God. He is righteous, that the Lord loveth righteousness, and the just he proves, but his soul hates the wicked man and him that violence loves. In the fires of hell, forever and ever, sinners, the lost, the ruined in hell will feel that God is a holy and just God. Well, is this judgment real to us? Are you, friend, taking heed of the judgment to come? Are you taking heed to the warning? Are you fleeing to Christ? Are you repenting of your sins? Are you beginning to see that it is sin that is that great evil, the cause of all the suffering in the world? And the only way that your sin can be forgiven is by the blood of Christ, the death of the Lord of glory. And it's only by believing in him and trusting in Jesus that your sin can be forgiven. And only those who truly repent will receive pardon. Their forgiveness is not because of their pardon. In other words, their repentance does not merit pardon. They don't earn salvation by turning from sin, but it is through turning from sin that they experience God's mercy. So, friends, when you see trouble in the world, you see war and disease, disasters and devastation, God is warning you and me to turn from sin to righteousness, to flee from the wrath to come to Jesus, repent and believe the gospel, receive the good news, receive salvation. The judgments of God in the earth are so that the world will learn righteousness, that they will learn to do well and do what is pleasing in God's sight. That's what we read in Isaiah 1:16. Wash you and make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Learn righteousness. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. That's what God is teaching us, that we would learn righteousness, that we would do justly and love mercy and walk humbly before our God. Learn righteousness. God says, wash you, make you clean. You might say, well, how can we wash ourselves? He says to wash us, wash you. Well, as Augustine says, God enjoins us what we cannot do. God tells us to do what we cannot do in order that we may know what we have to ask of him. He's teaching us what we need, so that we will go to Christ for that need. So pray for a new heart. Pray that God would plant a holy disposition within you, because there must be righteousness in our hearts. We need to be washed in the blood of Christ, all our sins forgiven, but we also need spiritual life in our souls. You see, learning righteousness is not just knowing about it. It's not just head knowledge. We're not being taught the Ten Commandments by knowing how to repeat it in our minds with our mouths. No, it's not mere head knowledge. We haven't learned righteousness if we're still following after wickedness. We haven't learned righteousness unless we're doing righteousness. That's to learn righteousness when there's repentance, when there's turning from sin to God. And again, we're brought back to looking to Christ, because he alone can wash us. Only he can make us new creatures, a new creation. And so he's calling us, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come to the one who can wash you. Come to Christ, who can make you righteous in himself by his own righteousness imputed to you. Come to Christ, who can make you righteous in your soul by the power of the Holy Spirit within you. This is the effect, this is the intended effect of judgments in the world, to bring sinners to repentance. And this will be the effect for all those for whom God has a purpose of salvation. In other words, all the elect will learn righteousness. This will be the effect upon the elect. They will learn righteousness. Is this the effect upon you? Are you saying in your soul, I will seek the Lord? With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. I will seek thee early, so that I may learn righteousness. I will seek thee diligently, so that I might respond suitably to thy providence in the world. When thy judgments are around me, oh, that I might learn thy righteous ways, that I might conform to thy laws, that I might observe thy commandments and do them. This will be the effect upon you if you're one of God's people. But on the other hand, not everyone Not everyone who witnesses God's righteous judgments will learn righteousness. And this is what our text teaches us. We read verse 10, "Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness?" And this may tell us that the reason he's praying that God would send his judgments in the world so that they will learn righteousness, because it's not favor. That's when God shows goodness and kindness to the wicked. That's not teaching them. So it must be by judgments. Then they will be awakened. But on the other hand, it's neither judgment nor favor that will teach the wicked. It's if they're determined to be wicked, if they go on in their rebelliousness. It's neither the goodness of God nor the punishment of God that will turn them from sin to righteousness. If they're determined willfully to go on in sin, like Pharaoh, at one point he said to Moses, "I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked." So he did have to admit, he was constrained to say that. "I am wicked, God is righteous." So yes, even the wicked, they might for a time acknowledge that God is just and righteous, but will they really turn from their sins? No. Later, Pharaoh went back to his rebelliousness and refused to comply with God's commandment. And so the church is acknowledging here, "Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness? In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord." Even when the wicked person is in a land of uprightness, in a land when most people are good and obedient, yet still the wicked man, unless he is renewed by grace, he will go on in his folly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. They are blind, and it's neither great mercies nor great troubles that will cause them to yield. They still refuse to acknowledge the glory of God and the power of God until it's too late, you see. In verse 11 we read, "Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see." So when the power of God is manifested and God's judgment is in the earth and he is, by his providence, demonstrating he is righteous, still they will not learn righteousness. In the land, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see. They are determined to go on in their blindness. But they shall see, he says, and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. They shall see the day is coming when they will have no choice but to acknowledge that God, their creator and lawgiver and judge, is holy. God will no more be silent, but then it will be too late. The fire of his zeal, God's zeal against his enemies, will consume them all. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. They will see the righteous judgments of God then, but it will be too late for them, and no hope for them to all eternity. But they will confess, they will acknowledge that God is just. They will see that God reigns over all. Psalm 47, verse 8, "God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness." So what we're learning here, friends, is that the judgments of God, intended to teach that they will learn righteousness, are yet not sufficient. The mere judgments of God are not sufficient to convert anyone. Not everyone will learn righteousness through the judgments of God. It's only the sovereign grace of God that can change the heart so that the sinner will learn righteousness spiritually and savingly. We read about that in Revelation chapter 9, that even after all the plagues, all the pestilence, all the plagues, they still did not repent of the works of their hands and so on. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So what we need to do, friends, is pray. We need to pray for conversions by the Holy Spirit. And God has promised that he will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And that's when sinners will be converted. Yes, it is partly through the judgments of God that being manifest in the earth, that this will be the effect upon them, but it's by the blessing of the Lord. When God blesses his judgments, the effect will be the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Is that the desire of our souls? Can we say, with my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early? This is what is most meaningful to me. This is what I feel in my heart. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I will seek thee early, but not just for myself, but for others, that the name of the Lord would be known, and that he would be remembered by the judgments that are in the earth, that others would desire his name, and that others would be converted, and that they would be brought by the manifestation of his perfections seen in the world to see his glory, to be brought like Moses to say, who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders, so that all of us would be saying, as we're taught to pray, hallowed be thy name, so that we and others would regard as holy all the works of the Lord, seeing his righteous judgment, his righteous judgments as means of teaching us his righteous ways. Believers desire that others would repent, they would be converted, that they would respond to the judgments of God by learning righteousness. Friends, this is one way, a great way that God has chosen to bring the nations into submission. When thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let us pray that this means we'll be blessed, that all the troubles that we see in the world will have the effect of bringing the nations to himself, that sinners as individuals like you and me would repent and believe the gospel, and that we would come to Christ and come away from sin to God in righteousness, just as the angels acknowledge in their praise to God when they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. When thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. May he bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, help us to call upon thy name, giving thanks for thy word, revealing to us thy name and thy works, which should have the effect of bringing us to repentance, learning the right ways of the Lord, so that there would be, by thy Spirit, a desire to follow after righteousness. Oh, that we would see sin to be what it is, hateful, offensive to thee, harming ourselves, and going along with the wishes of the evil one. Oh, that we would be turned from walking according to the course of this world and the spirit of the evil one. And following thee, Lord, may we follow thee with purpose of heart, and bless each one in the congregation. May each one be found in Christ and having grace in the soul and grace in exercise to learn righteousness and properly respond to afflictions and all that we see in the world. May we be rightly exercised. Oh, that we would be grieving over sin in our souls and in the lives of others, and that we would pray earnestly, thy kingdom come. Hear us, Lord, forgive our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us conclude singing to God's praise from Psalm 48. Psalm 48 from verse 7. Thou Tarshish ships with east wind breaks, as we have heard it told, so in the city of the Lord our eyes did it behold. In our God's city, which his hand forever establish will, we of thy loving kindness thought, Lord, in thy temple still. O Lord, according to thy name, through all the earth's thy praise, and thy right hand, O Lord, is full of righteousness always. Because thy judgments are made known, let Sion mount rejoice. Of Judah let the daughters all send forth a cheerful voice. Psalm 48, from verse 7, these five stanzas to God's praise. Thou Tarshish ships with east wind breaks.